Bhavya Prima Bidana Paramatumata Tasmaya Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Prajabala Bapahimam Panchakalpatarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyaeva cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Madashi Maru Samja Kinam Gango Kulum Kim Santa Pushma Umam Snigda Karna Kasra Sanida. Very nice verse. This is written by Krishnadas Kabiraj Goswami in the beginning of his epic work, Govinda Lilamrita, a very, very high book. And he says something which is appropriate for us to meditate on at this point. He says that, I have some katha, something we want to speak. And he says this katha is like a cow that's trying to go to Braj, because cows like to go to Braj. But this poor cow is suffering on the desert of my tongue. This katha, my cow in the form of this katha, is suffering on the desert of my tongue. So he's praying to all the readers, the saintly listeners, that Karna Kasra Sanido, may your ears, which are like nice ponds of nectar, you please give shelter to this katha of ours. So we're very happy to be here in Switzerland and see some old friends here. I feel also very unqualified to try to say something, especially after Fakir Mohan Prabhu has been speaking. We had the good fortune to hear class every day for 10 years from Fakir Mohan Prabhu. He's a very special person, and he's helped us so much. And all of you have been hearing from very high-class persons, and we're not like that. But this is not some kind of competition or something for some personal sense gratification for listening or for speaking. Harikatha is a different thing. Harikatha is like worship of the deity. When we come to the Artik, there's a pujari, and he's waving some incense, ringing a bell, and worshiping the deity. And the devotees come to see that ceremony. If the pujari thinks, oh, they're coming to see me, very good, look how many people are out there today, then he's in big time illusion. The people are coming to see the deities. So similarly, in Krishna Katha, we have a Vaishnav Sangha. And in that Vaishnav Sangha, it's not that the speaker is better than the listeners. It's not that the pujari is better than the persons who are coming for the kirtan. That's not a proper Vaishnav mentality. Rather, it's a Vaishnav Sangha. And in a Vaishnav Sangha, we have a designated speaker and designated listeners. Of the two, the speaker or the listener, actually, if we contemplate on the matter, the listener is more important than the speaker. Active listening is more important. Then you can say more sometimes through listening than you can through speaking. You know this thing. You may have a very qualified speaker, like Srila Prabhupada. But when Srila Prabhupada went to France once and did a Pandal program, the devotees were doing kirtan, and so many young people and hippies had come there, and they were dancing in ecstasy. And then they brought out a big vyasasan. And Srila Prabhupada sat down and started to speak. And the hippies started shouting at Prabhupada in French. Prabhupada didn't understand what they're saying. He asked one of his disciples, what are they saying? The disciple didn't want to translate. They're probably saying some very bad things. They're shouting at you, you should get off that chair. And who do you think you are? Like that. So the most qualified speaker was there, but because the audience wasn't qualified, nothing came out. Prabhupada told them, you just do kirtan, give them prasada. There was no kata. So, nimacharanam sadam vedya. If we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, if we want to hear or speak Krishna kata, the qualification is we have to be nimacharanam. We have to be free from envy. And that's a Vaishnava Sangha. So we want to have something like that. I'm not a great speaker. I'm just a student. And we're coming to try to do some service for all of you in this Vaishnava Sangha. So we sang this song. We should give some quick translation. A very nice song by the poet Yadunath Das. Apane nachite jale prabhura mana hoila. This song describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. And we thought we would call this topic for the next 2 days, Six Aspects of the Golden Dancer. Really, we wanted to give some explanation of the Kiba Jayo, Jaya Gora Chandra song. And we thought this is a better, nice way to describe it. Six Aspects of the Golden Dancer. Because as we'll describe, this song describes Mahaprabhu in six different aspects. And he's the golden dancer, which is described there. And this song we were singing tonight also describes that. That Mahaprabhu's dancing is so mind-enchanting. During the Rathayatra festival, there is a kind of competition between Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes Mahaprabhu was stopping, and Jagannath would also stop. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would go behind the cart and see what would happen. And Jagannath would stop and wait for him. And Jagannath's eyes, the devotee saw his eyes became even bigger when he watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupa. He's Krishna, but in the mood of Radha. And he's dancing in the mood of Radha. And it's attracting Jagannath so much. So his dancing is not like our dancing. His dancing began from his mind, from his heart. Our dancing begins from our body. But it should begin from our heart. Apane na chite jabe, prabhura mana hoila. Sata sampradaya loy ekatra korila. All around him, it said, sata sampradaya. All the different sampradayas were there. This is a very interesting point. The same language is used in the 13th chapter of Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which said that all the different sampradayas were around Mahaprabhu. What does that mean? You may be interested to know that this phrase, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, does not appear anywhere in the books of our six Goswamis. That's another topic. But Jiva Goswami, he calls our sampradaya the Chaitanya Sampradaya. So the Chaitanya Sampradaya is one sampradaya. And those different groups of devotees who are around Mahaprabhu, they are part of the same sampradaya. So why then is it making some distinction? Ekatra korila. But they're gathered together, ekatra, like one person around him. Different sampradayas means it's the Chaitanya Sampradaya, but there's different branches. Some were followers of Madhava Ghosh, and some were followers of Mukunda. Some were followers of Haridas Thakur, or Advaita Acharya, or Lord Nityananda. And the significant point that I find in it is that this is the Chaitanya movement, that there's many different little sampradayas. Because if we want to understand Gaura Leela, if we want to go deep in Gaura Leela, it requires very intense personal exchanges, very deep personal exchanges. We have a very big movement, and it's a wonderful thing. And we want to have millions of devotees chanting Hare Krishna. But it's a little impersonal, you know, to be with millions of people. Millions of people means you're with no one because you don't know everyone there. But if you're with that big group of people and you're within a small group, then it's a very sweet thing. Because Gaura Leela is a very sweet thing, a very, very personal thing. And Mahaprabhu is teaching us that in this line, we have to have some personal quiet exchanges. Oftentimes we compare Gaura Lila to two divisions. These are represented, we suggest, by the Jagannath Mandir in Puri and by the Gambira. The Gambira is very close to the Jagannath Mandir, and that's significant. Mahaprabhu spent most of his time at the Jagannath Mandir. Lochan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Mangal says three times a day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to the Jagannath Mandir. That Jagannath Mandir in Gaura Lila represents sometimes Dwarka and the Yadu dynasty who met the Brijbasis, the Kurukshetra. It represents organized religion. It represents great opulence because the Lord there, he's being kept prisoner in the Sri Mandir. Sri means Goddess Lakshmi Devi. And it represents something very opulent, very formal. And Mahaprabhu was giving most of his time to that. Meaning, most of our time we should give to public religion. And we should, by participating in that way, we encourage people to do that. But at the same time, simultaneously, the Gambira should be there, close by. And that Gambira represents a very quiet place of the heart, a very deep place. Because if we want to take part in Gaura Lila, both things are required. Our Sankirtan movement, that we chant and dance to the public, and we do Harinam, and we distribute books, and we give Krishna consciousness to everyone. Many people, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas in India, they couldn't understand Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They criticized, oh, you're not doing bhajan properly, you're emphasizing this preaching. But in our line, this prachar is our bhajan, is our sadhana. We're going out and trying to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. And by developing compassion and giving it to everyone, we get the mercy, we attract the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of our acharyas. So that prachar means the Jagannath Mandir. That's our public face. And we mostly give that. And we don't speak so many intimate things. Mahaprabhu didn't speak many intimate things at the Jagannath Mandir. But the Gambira was there, close by. And at the Gambira, in the association of Ramananda Roy, and Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami was there sometimes, Mahaprabhu's associated servant Govinda, in the association of those four devotees, he was relishing Govinda, the different songs of Jayadev Goswami and Vidyapati and Chandidas, very, very rustic things, describing the mood of Srimati Radharani. That's a mood we don't speak about in public. But we should have some Gambira thing in our heart. So this Sata Sampradayas should be there, meaning we should have some public face where we all go and do kirtan together, but we should also have some smaller groups of intimate friends. Because in Krishna consciousness, bhakti manifests sayada vitato yoga nivina shadaneha mat parai krita maitrasya. Maitra means friendship. Krita maitrasya karashya mad anugram. Krishna says to Yudhisthira Maharaj in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, this is how I give my anugram, my mercy, when someone makes friends with my devotees. So friendship and Krishna consciousness, based on Krishna consciousness, based on chanting the holy names, based on hearing together this friendship, relationships, based on these things, are our life in Krishna consciousness. So we also need an intimate part of that. Udanda Nitya Prabhu Chadya Hunkara. Mahaprabhu was dancing, and Hunkara, he was shouting in a very loud voice. And Chakra Brahmi Brahme Jena Alata Akar, he was spinning around like a firebrand. Like sometimes you may see some dancers at night and they're juggling with fire sticks or they're waving and they make makes like a kind of circle with a torch they have. So Mahaprabhu was dancing in such an ecstatic way that he looked like that. Nitte Jama Jama Prabhu Pada Padatal. That his feet, Padatal, they were keeping a beat. And wherever his dancing feet touch the ground, Sasagara Shailamahi Kshari Talamala. All the different oceans and mountains, Talamala, they begin to tremble. And Talamala has another meaning here too. It means they were keeping the beat. They were keeping the tall. In other words, the whole universe was dancing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such an ecstatic dance. Stamba Sveta Pul Kashu Sveta Bhai Bharanya. Mahaprabhu, he exhibited all the different asasapikara bhavs, becoming stumbed, like a stumba, like a column. Sveta Pul Kashu, his hairs on his body standing on end, weeping and crying, perspiration, Sveta Bhai Bhanya, his complexion turning pale. Nana Bhabi Vibhasha Garba Harsha Dhainya. Sometimes he would be proud, sometimes he would become very humble, sometimes he would be very joyful. Dekiya Prabhura Nitya Jagannathahase. When he saw that, when Jagannath saw the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his smile became even bigger on his face. Sayanande Vasi Jaya Jagannath Dase. And Jagannath Dasi author, seeing that himself, he floats in an ocean of bliss. So this is a song we wanted to sing and share with you for the next couple of days. And we'd like to read something from to you and speak something about this Artik song of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. A very, very deep song, very significant song. Jaya Jaya Gora Chandra. Artika Shobha. Twice he says Jai, 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 all glories, all glories. The Gora Chandra Artika Shobha. To the Artik, the very beautiful Shobha Artik, of that personality who's Gora Chandra. And several times, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this song, he refers to Mahaprabhu as the golden moon, Gora Chandra. And we'll come back to that. Janavitatavani, Jagamana Loba. There, on the bank of the Janava, the daughter of Janu Rishi, the Ganga, who's known as Janavi, because she came from the thigh of Janu Rishi. That's another story, if you don't know that. There on the bank of the Ganga, Jagamana Loba is attracting the minds of all the persons in the universe. Jagamana Loba, all the different persons. Jaga, in other words, from Jagat. Why is it particularly making this point? And why is the point being made particularly about the Ganga? Because Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila are the same thing. Krishna Lila is Gaura Lila, and Gaura Lila is Krishna Lila. In Sanskrit, there's a word, Parishishta. Parishishta means an appendix. We wrote a book recently. I think they'll talk about it later. When Good Fortune Arises. And we finished writing the book, but something more needed to be written. So then we add an appendix to the book. That's a parishishta. So it's an amazing thing that although Krishna, by nature, is aptakam and atmaram, he is completely self-satisfied. He's a supreme personality of Godhead. Still, in Krishna Lila, there was something left unfinished. Because he's a very greedy fellow. And he wanted to relish. He's known as Rasika Shekhar. So he wants to relish all different types of rasa. He's the crest jewel, Shekhar, of all different rasa. But there was one thing that he couldn't taste. And he became greedy for that. And that one thing is the bhav of Srimati Radharani. So I think maybe tomorrow we'll give another explanation, another completely different explanation of the song that we'll give today. And there we may tell that explanation in the form of a story about another devotee. There's two Narahari's. We'll speak about Narahari Sarkar today. But tomorrow we may speak, if we have time, about Narahari Chakravarti. And we may say something more in regards to these same topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna. And Krishna, he became very greedy to taste Radha Bhav. So he approached her and asked her, please, Radharani, give this thing to me. But just like a devotee, and Radharani is a supreme devotee, if you approach a devotee and ask them for their bhav, what is your bhav? Prabhuji, if I ask you, what is your bhav? What will you say? You may say, I have no bhav. A devotee will speak like that. I have no feelings. I have no emotions. And in Radharani's case, she told Krishna, what do you want with my bhav? They call me Pagalini Radha, Mad Radha. I'm rolling on the ground in ecstasy. I'm crying in separation from you. No, you can't have this. This is the crazy feelings that I have. So she wouldn't give it to him. So he tried to borrow it, because Krishna had a problem. This morning, Markandeya Rishi Prabhu gave such a nice class. And he was quoting a very important verse from the 32nd chapter of the 10th canto. That chapter is called The Reunion. And it's a long topic. We'll be speaking something about this, I think, in Goloka Dham. I won't go in that direction now. But the last verse of that chapter, Krishna tells the gopis, this verse which Markandeya Rishi quoted this morning, Naparehaṁ nidavadyasam yujam sasadu krityam vibhidayusapi va yamabhajam durjaya geha shrinkalai samvichayataga patayatu sadhana. He said that, although my promise is ye yatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, my promise is I'll always reciprocate with my devotees. That's Krishna's nature. Although that's my promise, now I've been defeated. Because you don't want anything. Everyone else wants something. We're chanting Hare Krishna, but we're really praying that I'd like a red bicycle. Or I'd like a girlfriend, or a boyfriend, or a husband, or a job, or some position, some prestige. When are they going to recognize what a great devotee I am? We're wanting that thing. We're wanting something. And Krishna knows that. So he's in our heart. And he reciprocates. Oh, he's chanting my names, but really, he wants a new dhoti. Or he wants a red bicycle. So Krishna sends that thing to us. And if we're very fortunate, he does it in such a way that we never ask for it again. It makes us cry. But Krishna told the gopis, Naparehaṁ nidavadyasam, I don't know how to repay you, because you don't want anything. They only wanted one thing. They wanted Krishna's pleasure. If someone only wants your pleasure, how do you reciprocate with them? How do you pay them back? Krishna became very bewildered. So he tried to get some wealth, because if you're in debt, you have to pay your debt. You'll be in big trouble. So he tried to beg it from Radharani. He tried to borrow it from Radharani, but she wouldn't give him. So in that kind of condition, you only have one option left. You have to steal. And you become a bank robber. So Krishna, one of his names is Chora Gaganya. Gaganya means the greatest. He's the greatest chore, the greatest thief. He's known as Makkan Chor, when he's a young boy. He steals the makkan, the butter of the Brijbasi ladies. He's known as Ghanasham. He steals the blackish blue color of the cloud. He's known as Papa Chor. He steals the sin of all his devotees who chant his names. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. In Vishwanath, Rupa Goswami, in his Dvitiya Chaitanyashtakam, he says that Rasashtamam Hritva, that Krishna, seeing that Radharani wouldn't give him that bhav, he had no choice. He had to steal it. And that's a very rustic, long discussion. You may read in Embankment of Separation, one book by our revered spiritual master, where he discusses the meaning, why Ramananda Roy fainted. It's one chapter of that book called that. Why did Ramananda Roy faint? And it describes how Krishna entered into Radharani's heart. A very, very esoteric, beautiful description. But he had to make that heart soft by the fire, the Vipralamba Agni, the fire of separation. And he entered that heart. But when he entered into Radharani's heart and he got that bhav and he came back out, something was different. Everything was gone. Govardhan Hill was gone. And the Vrindavan Forest was gone. The Jamuna River was gone. Instead, he was standing on the bank of the Ganga. And all of his associates at Braj had become the devotees of Navadvip. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda is singing, Janavi Tattavani Jagamana Loba. This is Jagamana Loba. It's attracting the minds of all the living entities in the universe. And it's taking place, Janavi Tattavani, on the bank of the Jamuna, on the bank of the Ganga, excuse me, which is non-different from the bank of the Jamuna in Vrindavan. So, Bhaktivinoda says, Jaya Gora Chandra. He describes Mahaprabhu as like a moon. This song I would like to offer, we can see is a description of the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Guru Nisha Bhaktam Isham Nishavatarakam Tat Prakasham Sachak Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Samnakam, which describes six features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll try to get a little bit more into that. It speaks about the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this song speaks also about the second verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jaya Jaya Gora Chandra, all glories to the moonlight Gora, it evokes the second verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Gododai Pushpavanto Chitro Sando Tamo Nudo. He's offering pranams to Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who Sahodito simultaneously rose. A very amazing thing. The moon is a very special thing. The sun is a very special thing. But when Gaura and Nityananda appeared, it's like the moon and the sun appeared simultaneously on the horizon of Godadesh. Pushpambanto. And Chitrasando Tamonudo. Chitrasando, they gave wonderful benedictions. And Tamonudo, they dissipated all darkness. Just like the sun and the moon, they give great benedictions and they drive away darkness. But the sun and the moon of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are more powerful than the ordinary sun and moon. According to Vedic literature and practical science, the sun purifies everything. Even if you put some stool or urine on the ground beneath the sun, after some time of heating that thing, it'll become purified and go back into the earth. The sun can purify that. But the sun can't purify some urine or stool that's in a dark room. But Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're so wonderful, that they can purify the stool and urine-like things in our dark hearts. They can penetrate even that. So their appearance is such a wonderful thing. So Jaya Jaya Gaurachandra. We glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. He's a moon-like personality because that moon gives very cooling rays. The sun is very hot and the moon is very cooling. But now Gaura and Nityananda, they've arisen like the sun and the moon together. And you can't really say which one is like the sun or which one is like the moon. The verse doesn't describe. They're both like the sun and like the moon. And just like the sun purifies things. But the sun is also very hot. I mean, the moon is very cooling. So the moon like Gaura Chandra, he provides coolness. The moon like Lord Nityananda provides some coolness from the tapa, the heat of material existence. And then Bhaktivinoda says, Daki Nitai Chand. He compares Nitai to Chand, also a moon. And he says that Dakin, he's there on the right side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bame Gadadhara. There on the left side, Bame, is Gadadhar. Why is that? Why is it that Nityananda and Gadadhar are on different sides of the Lord? Why aren't they sitting next to each other? There's a reason. All these things have a deep purport. Dakin Nittai Chan, because that Nittai, Heno Balaram. He's directly Lord Balaram. And Balaram is like his right hand. And Gadadhar, who is Gadadhar in Krishna Lila? There's some very nice pranam mantras that we use to worship Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar ham aham vande madhava charja nandanam mahabhavam surupam shri chaitanya bina rupinam. I offer my prana to Gadadhar Pandit. He's a son of Madhava Charja. And Mahabhava Surupam Shri, he's a personification of Mahabhav. And Chaitanya Bina Rupinam, he's non-different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Hladini Surupaya Goranga Suridaya Cha Bhakti Shakti Pradhanaya Gadadhara Namostute. A Gadadhar Pandit, he's Hladini Shakti Surup, he's Hladini Surupaya, he's a personification of Krishna's pleasure potency. Who is a personification of Krishna's pleasure potency? Can you say? Srimati Radharani. So Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Gauranga Suridaya Cha. He's in the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Shakti Pradhanaya. He gives bhakti. This is Srimati Radharani. She's also Bhakti Datri. She's the giver of bhakti. Gadadhara Namostute. I offer my pranams to Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared on the Purnima, on the full moon. And Gadadhar Pandit, when did he appear? Do you know? On the Amavasya. What is the significance of that? The Purnima, the very word Purnima means full. Purnima. Purna means full. That phase of the moon, which is Purna, is known as Purnima. That's the full moon. And the Amavasya means when there's no moon. Everything is gone. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stole Radha Bhav. And what's left after he's stolen that Bhav is Gadadhar Pandit. So that same Gadadhar is Srimati Radharani. Come in a different mood. That's another very big subject to describe something about Gadadhar Tattva. We won't go in that direction today. But Dakin Nitai Chan, the moon-like Nityananda, who's very, very cooling. Koti Chandra Sushitala, his lotus feet are cooling like millions of moons. He's on the right side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's his right hand. And on the left side is Gadadhar Pandit. Because on the left side, Krishna, on the left side of Krishna, is Srimati Radharani. Nikate Advaita. Nikate means nearby. This also has a very profound purport to it. Nikate Advaita. Nearby is Advaita. Who is Advaita Acharya? This is also another very big subject matter. We like to speak, if you come sometime to Jagannath Puri, we'd like to go to Advaita Acharya's house and have some Advaita Katha, especially on his appearance day there. Because he's a very, very mysterious personality. And his ontological position is very, very mysterious. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Mahavishnu Jagat Karta Mayaya Yashvijatjadaha Tashavatara Evayam Advaita Charya Ishvaraha. It says that Advaita Charya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. But then the Chaitanya Charitamrita also describes Advaitam Harinad Advaitad Acharjam Bhakti Sansanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaitacharyam Ashraye. Because he's non-different from Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord, he's called Advaita, and because he propagates the cult of devotion, he's called Acharya, he's also a devotee. He's the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotees. Therefore, I take shelter of him. But in the Guru Ganadish Deepika, it's described Bhaktavatara Acharya Dvaitoya Sri Sada Shivaha. That Advaitacharya is none different from Lord Sada Shiva. Well, we become a little confused then. Is he Shiva or is he Mahavishnu? Who is he? We were doing some research for a long time, a few years, about Gopishwar Mahadev in Braj, and we found out some very interesting things. Did you know there's some marks on that Shivlinga? And they say that those marks are from the time of Dwapar Yuga. when after Krishna's disappearance, the gopis were crying and holding onto that Shiva Linga and praying to him to grant them darshan of Krishna, and their fingers melted into that Shiva Linga. And you can see those fingerprints there today. Shriman Gopishwaram Bande Shankaram Karunamayam Sarva Klesha Haram Devam Brindaranya Viti Padam. In his Bhaktivedanakar, Narahari Chakravarti gives this pranam mantra to Gopishwar Mahadev. That he prays that Shriman Gopishwaram Vande, I offer my Vandana to Gopishwar Mahadev, who is Shriman, endowed with Shri, endowed with the Shakti of Srimati Radharani. Shriman Gopishwaram Vande Shankaram Karunamayam. He's Lord Shankar, but he's Karunamoyi. He's very, very merciful. Sarva Klesha Haram Devam. And we're praying to him, he's Lord Hara, Lord Shiva. This Hara, Hara also means someone who takes away. So he's praying, Sarva Klesha Haram Devam. You're the Deva who takes away all of our Klesha, all of our anxiety. And Brindaranya Rati Padam, you give us residence in Vrindavan. So this is the activity of Gopishwar Mahadev. He takes away the anxiety of the gopis. And therefore he's Gopishwara, the Lord of the gopis. And he grants residence into Vrindavan for those persons who want to take shelter of him, who want to enter into Vrindavan and take shelter of him. So one of the things we found out about Gopishwar Mahadev is that there's some connection with him and Advaita Acharya. Every year on Advaita Acharya's appearance day, they have a special festival in Vrindavan. And all the mahants, along with kirtan groups, come from the different main temples in Braj, and they go to Gopishwar Mahadev's temple. Another thing we found out about Gopishwar Mahadev, Sanatana Goswami says this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's not actually Lord Shiva, but he's considered to be Harihara, half Shiva and half Lord Vishnu, just like Advaita Acharya. And in fact, the Bala Lila Sutra, which is one 500-year-old book, rare book, a biography of Advaita Acharya, describes Gopeshwara Nadi Shivena Sauri Dham Shinam Mahavishnu Ananta Viryaha Premna Milidva Jagat Arti Hartum Labodara Chira Nido Vivesha. That Lord Mahavishnu, he joined together with Gopishwar Mahadev, and they appeared in the womb of Labadevi, the mother of Advaita Acharya, as Sri Advaita Acharya. So the position of Lord Shiva is a position of tatastha. He's not right there with the Lord. He's something a little bit different. And Mahavishnu also is that same position. Sadashiva is all the different living entities in the tatastha region. They're emanating from the Lord. So Nikate Advaita, he's nearby. So this Nikate Advaita also has this purport. It means Advaita is standing nearby, but it also has this meaning, that Nikate Advaita means he's nearby because he's Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, he's Gopishwar Mahadev. Nikate Advaita, Shini Vasa Chatradhara. And so then it speaks about Srinivasa. This doesn't mean Srinivasacharya. Sometimes devotees misunderstand. This refers to Srivas Thakur. And it's very significant, the language that's used here. Srivasa Chatradhara. He's Chatradhara. Dhara means to hold. Like we have the word Dharanidhara. Dharanidhara is a name for Lord Balaram. He's holding up. Dhara means to hold. Dharani, the earth. Dharani means that personality who's holding up everyone else. And one of the names for Lord Ramachandra is Dhanudhara, that personality who's always carrying a bow. One of the names for Krishna is Muralidhara. So Dhara means to hold. And in this case, Chatra. Chatra means an umbrella. But the word is a significant word, especially in connection with Srivas Thakur, because it has another meaning also. Chatri can mean an umbrella, but Chatri also means a disciple, a Sishya, who's holding an umbrella over their guru. Chatri, literally, I heard this personally from my Guru Maharaj. He told me, this is what you should do. This is the behavior of a proper disciple. You should protect your guru. He told me in connection with editing. He said, because sometimes when you're speaking a lecture, you may make some mistake. And spoken, sometimes even Srila Prabhupada, he would say, and in the Bhagavad Gita it says, and he would quote a Bhagavatam verse. So if you're editing that, you should be a proper chetri, proper disciple, and protect Srila Prabhupada and put the Bhagavatam reference, not Bhagavad Gita. Maybe Prabhupada is testing us. We don't know why he's doing like that. We shouldn't think that it's a mistake. But we should try to protect him. So that person who holds up an umbrella, who does the work of a chatri, he's a sishya, a disciple. And Srivas Thakur, he has a special position as a leader of all the different devotees. And this is described in the Dhyan Mantras to Srivas Thakur. We just printed these in the issue 277 of our Krishna Kathamrita magazine, our Krishna Kathamrita Bindu magazine. I'll read these verses and then we'll stop for the evening and we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. It's getting a little bit late. I don't want to keep everybody up. So subscribe. Ashrayami Shri Srivasam Tam Ajam Panditam Sada Shuklam Bharadaram Goram Gora Bhakti Pradayakam. I always, Ashrayami Shri Srivasam, take shelter of Shri Srivas, who is the leader, Tam Ajam Panditam Sada. He's the leader of all the pundits. Shuklam Bharadaram Goram, he's always wearing a brilliant white cloth. Shuklam Bhara. Dharam. Goram, he has a golden complexion. And Gora Bhakti Pradayakam, he's always giving Gora Bhakti. Shri Goranga Kripa Vasam, he's the shelter, the Vasa of Gora Kripa, of Gora's mercy. And Gora Murti Rasapradam, he has a golden form and he's giving the Rasa, Gora Rasa, to everyone. Shuklam Bharadaram Devam. He's a divine personality wearing that white cloth. And Sarva Bhakta Jana Priyaha. He's very dear to all the devotees of the Lord. Srivas Thakur has a special position in the Panchatattva. Srivas Adi. Shiva Asa Adi. Gora Bhakta Brinda. He's the Bhakta Raj. He's a devotee in charge of all the devotees of Mahaprabhu. So he's Sarva Bhakta Jana Priya. He's very dear to all the devotees. Sankirtana Rasavesham. He's always intoxicated by the mellows of Sankirtan. Sarva Sobhagya Bhushitam. He's decorated with all good fortune. Smarami Bhakta Rajahi. He says, I meditate always, Smarami Bhakta Rajahi, on that king of all the devotees. That's Srivas Thakur, who's Narada avatar. He's the incarnation of Narad Muni, who's the original sannyasi, the original kirtan devotee traveling around the universe. But now he's come as a grihastha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing his nocturnal kirtan in the home of Srivas Thakur. So Narad Muni, Srivas Thakur, is teaching us, we don't care what ashram you're in. Sometimes we had a misconception in the early days in ISKCON, and we thought that one color is better than another color. But it's not a costume contest. Bhakti is not that thing. We don't care what ashram someone is in. The 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and the prayers of Lord Brahma, he describes that Stani stita shudigatam dhanavan manobhir. Stay wherever you're at. When you begin to hear Hari Katha, it doesn't matter what ashram you're in. But whatever ashram is right for you, you stay in that thing. Brahmacharya ashram is a very nice ashram. Sannyas ashram is a very nice ashram. There's no anxieties. But it's not that it's better than a grihastha ashram. Prabhupada, in one lecture in Delhi, he once said that grihastha ashram, Brahmachari ashram, Vanapastha ashram, Sannyas ashram, these are different ashrams. Ashram means a place to live. This temple is an ashram, and the devotees are living in the ashram. But someone who is a grihastha, he's also living in an ashram. If his house is dedicated to Krishna, and if his ashram is dedicated to Krishna, then his, if his life, if his position of being a married person is dedicated to Krishna, then that's an ashram. And whatever situation is best for a person, stani stita shudyagatam dhanavan manobhir, Prabhupada gives this explanation to this verse. He says, stay as a grihastha, stay as a brahmachari, stay as a sannyasi. We don't need to change things. And we learn from the lesson of Raghunath Das Goswami that he changed, but actually he didn't. He came to Mahaprabhu as a grihastha and said, I want to leave, I want to join the Hare Krishna movement, I want to move into the temple. And Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a crazy fellow. Go home, stay with your wife. And when the time is right, Krishna will make an arrangement. If something is wrong in your ashram, if you're a married person and your husband and your wife or your wife are not compatible, they're not helping you in your bhajan, then you don't have to do something artificial. You try, you do your best, and Krishna will make an arrangement. Krishna will make some change. If you're meant to be a sannyasi, if Krishna wants that, he'll make some change. We depend upon Krishna for that. So, Narad Muni, he came as Srivas Thakur, but now he's a grihastha, he's the head of all the devotees. Smarami Bhakta Raja, he's the king of all the devotees. Srivasam Sri Hari Priyam, Srivas Thakur is very, very dear to Lord Hari. Sri Gauranga Kripa Patram, he's a Kripa Patra, the pot of mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If there's a pot of mercy of Mahaprabhu, that's Srivas Thakur. Panditakyam Sada Suchim. He's an eternally pure personality. And he's renowned, he's very, very famous as a pundit. Shuklam Bharadaram Gauram. He's always wearing white cloth. And he's golden complexion, Gauram. Gaura Bhakti Pradayakam, and he's always giving Gaura Bhakti. Sri Kirtane Sadonmata, he's always intoxicated, not with wine or beer like they are here in Switzerland, or some marijuana or something, but he's intoxicated with kirtan. Sri Kirtane Sadonmata, Jayat Srivasa Sattamam. I always meditate in this way on Srivas Thakur. So this Gaura Artik song has so much purport to it, and we should meditate on it. Dakin Nitai Chan, Bame Gadadhar. There on his right side is Lord Nityananda, Bame Gadadhar. On the left side is Gadadhar Pandit Radharani, because Nitai is Balaram, and Radharani, they don't meet each other. They're both very shy to meet each other. They know about each other, but Radharani is very, very shy around Balaram. And Balaram, understanding Krishna's feelings, he's also very shy around Radharani. So the two are on different sides of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in Gaura Lila, Nityananda and Gadadhar become very close in another different way. But in this song, Bhaktivinoda is singing, Daki Nitai Chan, Bame Gadadhar, Nikate Advaita, Srinivasa Chaturdhara. And Srivas Thakur is there holding up the umbrella. So we'll continue this tomorrow, and we'll read something about Bosiyachi Gaurachand, Ratna Singhasan, and speak something about Mahaprabhu's Ratna Singhasan and the personalities around him, and why Mahaprabhu, why Bhaktivinoda is speaking about particular devotees, who they are, and some of the other meanings of this very nice song. So we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions from anyone? I'm sorry, we're compressing a whole lot of information into a very short time. I hope it's not too much information overload on everyone. It's actually, this song, if we explained this nicely, it would take weeks and weeks to explain this very properly. Prabhuji was asking me something, and we only have 2 days, so we're trying to do it in a brief way. But trying to do it in such a way, too, that shows us that there's so much purport to these things. In his commentary on the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur speaks about three different levels of bhakti: abhyasa, manana, and smarana. The Gita says, abhyasa yoga yuktena. Abhyasa means to practice. So in the beginning, we practice. We clean the temple room, we wash the pots. Usually that's what they give us when we're new bhaktas. I wash a lot of pots. I cleaned a lot of temple rooms when I was a new devotee. And when we're doing that in the beginning, abhyasa yoga yuktena, we're doing it as a practice. And we're doing it and we're sweeping, and maybe we're thinking about our old girlfriend, or we're thinking about our parents, or we're thinking about what prasadam are they going to have at lunchtime today. or we're thinking about some other thing. We're not really thinking about our service. But after some time of sweeping a dirty room, something happens. It becomes clean. Similarly, when we engage in practicing Krishna consciousness, Chaito Dharpana Marjana, after some time our heart becomes clean. And then, when a room is very clean and when our heart is very clean, we become peaceful. And then we begin to think, why am I doing this? Before we were just thinking, I'm just doing this because Krishna Prem Rupa Bhu told me to do it. I don't really like doing this. No one else is there to do it, so I'm doing it. And we're not really thinking about it. But after some time, we start thinking, I'm doing this because it brings pleasure to the deities. It brings pleasure to Prabhupada. It brings pleasure to Radharani and to my Gurudev and the Vaishnavas. And if I clean things very nicely, they become very happy. And so then we start thinking about what we're doing. This is the next stage in bhakti called manana, or thinking. Thinking is a very important stage. Don't make them have the misconception that thinking is a wrong thing. Speculation is wrong. But we should become Shastra Chakshush. We should read Shastra, and then we should use Shastra as like chashma. These are my chashma, my glasses. So we wear these glasses of Shastra, and we should see through them. We should employ them as a tool to understand and see the world and see our particular circumstance, which will always change. Shastra is a non-changing thing, but our particular situation will change. And the way that we apply Krishna consciousness, the way that we preach Krishna consciousness, that may change. So that requires manana, some thinking about it, some contemplation. It's not enough just to do mechanical work. We have to come to the platform of manana, start thinking deeply. And then Vishwanath says, from the platform of manana comes smarana. Smarana means marana. Marana means death. Smarana means remembrance. Remembrance comes after death, after our material life is dead, after we stop thinking about all the nonsense things, after our mind is so attracted to all those things. But that position will come through the practice of marana, manana, of thinking, of contemplating what I'm doing. So it's a very important thing in our practice of bhakti. We should think. When we're singing these songs, we should think, what am I singing? And not just do it in a mechanical way. We should learn the meanings of the different words, at least a little Bengali we should learn. And we should understand what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing. And there's a very, very deep purport to these songs. And we may have many different purports to this song. If you go and hear some pravachans from some learned Vaishnavas in India, if you hear from Fakir Mohan Prabhu, I've heard him give so many explanations of the same song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Many, many different explanations may be there, and they may be bona fide from different angles of vision. So we want to encourage everyone to think a little bit, and that's part of our purpose for this program. Okay? And there's no questions? Prabhuji? He's thinking something. Thank you.
I tried to think. So about, because myself, I'm just situating myself with Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I see there are very confidential topics in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the discussion between Srila Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And but how can we develop this bhajan by studying deeper the Chaitanya Charitamrita and discussing among devotees, because there are some topics which are very, very confidential. By example, between when Srila Ramananda Roy is describing about the qualities of Srimati Radharani. Mm-hmm. So it's very, sometimes we don't dare to speak between devotees, or we keep for ourselves, or in which mood shall we do it? Because it was recommended to develop this bhajan together.
First of all, I think you'll agree that those things should be read, and they should be thought about. If they should not be read, then why did our Goswamis write those books? Why did Srila Prabhupada translate Chaitanya Charitamrita? Why did he want it distributed to everyone? The real question, which is a good question, a very correct question, is how we should do that. Because our heart naturally says, wait a minute, sometimes this is not right. We may be standing on the street and you're arguing with some Christian or something, and you, maybe you're thinking, maybe I'll talk to him about Ramananda Sambhad. And your heart says, no, not a good idea. Don't speak to this person about that subject. So our antayami is there in the heart telling us something. Or maybe we're hearing a little voice in our heart, don't speak about this subject with this particular devotee. Because nimatsranam satam vedyam, to speak about Krishna Katha, we have to have an audience who's non-envious. And if someone's a very envious person, there's three different types of discussions, vada, japa, and vitanda, in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And a vada discussion is characterized that both personalities just want to know what is the truth. And if they're defeated, if they're wrong in their understanding, they don't mind, because they just want to know what is the truth. A japa discussion is in the mode of passion. And the discussion is characterized that one or both participants just want to be heard. We've all experienced discussions like that. We can't get in a word edgewise. The other person just wants to talk. And so then the best thing I found is just listen and smile. And that's what they want. And that person becomes happy. But you can't really have a discussion with them. They just want to, they have some deep thing in their heart. They're very disturbed or something. And they feel the need to speak something. So you just listen to them. That's a japa discussion. And the vitanda discussion, and the mode of ignorance, is characterized that one or both participants just want to win. It's a debate. And they'll win at any cost. They'll tell a lie, they'll do whatever, they won't listen to you. It's in the mode of ignorance. So Jiva Goswami in his Pritisandarbha, he says that Vaishnavas don't take part in japa and vitanda discussions. So when we're going to speak something about Chaitanya Charitamrita, we don't do it in that kind of atmosphere. So how do we understand these subjects? Only by the mercy of Krishna. It's described that the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloki Prati Akshinanata Koi. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita is non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam and from Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how do we understand it? Pratishloki, pratyakshari, nanantakoi. Each and every verse, each and every syllable has unlimited meaning. It's not understood by reading. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that, and Prabhupada says that. Prabhupada says in one place, he said, you can't understand, you can't become a devotee just by reading. And someone said, well, Prabhupada, what about reading your books? And Prabhupada said, no. And the devotee said, well, what about your purports? And Prabhupada said, no, no. You have to approach a person. Because the Bhagavatam is a person. And in this line, we have to go through a person if we want bhakti. Mm-hmm. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sangha. The birthplace of Krishna bhakti is association with devotees. Now, we may get high-class sadhu sangha. We want that. Yeah? Or we may not get such high-class sadhu sangha. Satam prasangam mimavirya samvido bhavanti ritkana rasayana katha. But in either case, this is a rasayana katha. This is the topics which will purify our heart. But satam prasangam, we want to hear in association with pure devotees. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his Sarita Darshini commentary, this verse from the third canto spoken by Kapiladeva, he says that satam prasangam has another meaning. It means to associate purely. The association we may have, that I may be associating with someone who's not a pure devotee. But if we only speak about pure topics, that's also satam prasangam. And he raises a question, what is the necessity of the prefix pra before the word sangha? Pra, this means something very special or more. Why not just satam sangam? Why satam prasangam? Vishnu gives a very wonderful explanation. He said, there's a difference. Satam Sangam means we're talking about vegetarianism. Is everybody here a vegetarian? Prabhuji, are you a vegetarian? It's very important. Okay. Does everybody here believe in reincarnation? Do you believe in reincarnation? You don't. You should believe in reincarnation. It's very important. So, speaking about reincarnation, about vegetarianism, and we were saying the other day, sometimes someone gives a class why you should be vegetarian based on the Bible. We're speaking to devotees like this. Or why you should be honest, why you shouldn't lie to the temple president, why you should be on time, be a good person, pay your debts, take care of your family, why you should chant japa, why you should worship God. This is Satam Sangam. But Vishnu says this verse is speaking about Satam Prasangam. Prasangam means topics directly about Krishna. It's okay to talk about Krishna. He's a person. He has pastimes. Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book. Prabhupada wanted that Krishna book distributed to everyone. He wanted devotees to read that Krishna book. Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wanted us to read that. But we should do that in proper association, satam prasangam, with proper devotees. And that may not be, hopefully it will be in association with the Mahabhagavat Vaishnav. But if we don't have that opportunity, then we can associate with the Mahabhagavat Vaishnav, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, or Srila Prabhupada, by reading their books and by thinking about what they've said and discussing it with devotees. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes that Prasprana Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasaha. We should learn how to associate with devotees. How do we associate? What do you mean, how to associate with devotees? We just go to a movie together, right? See the latest movie that's showing? Or we go out, having a good time in the park or something. That's not sadhu sangha. Satam prasangam means that we associate with devotees by hearing Krishna katha. And if we do that, if you have a loving relationship with a husband and wife based on Krishna katha, based on Krishna's service, that relationship is an uplifting relationship. If you have friendship amongst brahmacharis based on doing service, distributing books together, speaking Krishna katha, the love and friendship that you have, that love and friendship is going to help you. It's a good thing. We should not be afraid of relationships. Mayavadis don't want relationships. But in bhakti, relationships are everything. It's a very big subject matter. It's a whole seminar we have about this subject matter. But we should associate with devotees in a serious way and hear about Krishna in a right way. And if we feel in our heart this is not appropriate, maybe they're reading in a kind of mood of enjoyment, or maybe they're reading in kind of a sahajya kind of way, where they're trying to speculate some kind of thing, or trying to get something in a very easy way, then our heart will tell us, don't associate here. Don't do that. But we want to hear these topics. If we don't hear these topics, if we don't have these topics in our society, sooner or later you'll go somewhere else. And we've seen that. And my Guru Maharaj, he was very concerned about that. He said, I want to show that everything is in Prabhupada's books and that everything is in our ISKCON movement. And so he told us, this is a good time to say this thing, he told us to make a magazine, Sri Krishna Kathamrita. We made an email magazine, Sri Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. So I'm going to pass this around. Do you have a pen, Krishna Kumar? And if you'd like, if you give us your email address, you can get a free subscription. It comes every Ekadasi. We've come out with about, 280 issues so far. We have about 10,000 subscribers. And it's just Krishna Katha, just new translations and stories and things like that. So that thing is there. Is that okay, Prabhu?
I think I got one magazine from a godbrother from you in Vrindavan.
We have a printed magazine also, Sri Krishna Katha. It's a different magazine, actually.
Yes. A very beautiful magazine. With beautiful colors and
a lot of pictures and things.
Krishna.
That's our humble service, that we want to try to have some nice Krishna Katha. And it doesn't belong to us. That's our society. We should always have kirtan. We should always have Krishna Katha. And if we think that it belongs to me, if we think, hey, I'm the pujari, and we think that so many devotees are coming to watch me do the artik, then it's wrong. So similarly, if we're speaking something, we should just think we're a servant, and we're just trying to repeat something. This is our sampradaya. Okay? Anything else is there? Sanya, any questions?
Was it obvious that I really wanted to ask something? Can you tell more about the difference between thinking and speculation?
About thinking and speculation. Very good. I've thought about this a lot. And one thing that I've thought is that our movement sometimes, and I can say this because I'm a very faithful member of this movement, our movement, I think, sometimes has a kind of fear of thinking. And historically in our society, this, I think, came about because in the early days when Srila Prabhupada went to America, the devotees were speculating a lot. Sometimes they put something in Radharani's hand, or they'd dress the deities in a funny way. Or at one point, some senior devotees were telling people that Srila Prabhupada was actually Krishna. So that's speculation. And Prabhupada became very angry, and he told the devotees, don't speculate. Don't change things. Bhagavad Gita as it is. And this is our slogan, our movement, as it is. And so from that history, I think, came about a kind of mentality among some people that it's bad to think. We shouldn't think. And we should just be mechanical. It's very easy to be mechanical and to just repeat in a parrot-like way. But if you look through Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada condemned parrot-like mechanical behavior, and he wanted devotees to think. He said that in a number of places. But what he didn't want is speculation. We want to think, but we want to think based on Shastra. We need to have a whole reality change. We have our whole perspective now based on thinking that I'm this body and that everything is here for my pleasure and based on sense gratification. We're thinking like that. So it's contaminated. And even when we come to Krishna consciousness, sometimes people, they think, wow. You see devotees sometimes in Mayapur. Wow, nice to see you, man. How's it going? Hey, did you hear it tonight? Satchinanda Maharaj is going to do kirtan. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I want to. And there's pizza also over there. Yeah. And I saw there's some really pretty girls over there too. Yeah, very good. And so we go to the holy dham to have a good time because we have this basic understanding in life that the purpose of my life is to try to enjoy everything. So we need to have an attitude adjustment based on Shastra, that I'm not the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Guru is the enjoyer. And I should act in a way to bring them pleasure. And that's the first, most fundamental attitude change I should have. And if I begin to have that attitude, and then I think, what does Srila Prabhupada want? What does my guru want? And we begin to think about that in a very deep way. That's a very important thing. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he calls this anubhav. In some commentaries in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, he says the function of the sishya is to be anubhava the guru, to always be thinking about what is the mood of the guru. And he says a very interesting thing. He says, just like a wealthy person, if you go to a rich person and you ask him, how much money do you have? They won't tell you. So if you go to your Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, what's your bhav? What's your mood? He won't tell you. So Vishwanath says, just like with a rich man then, you watch him. You see, how does he dress? What kind of clothes does he wear? What kind of wristwatch does he have? What kind of jewelry does he have? What kind of car does he have? How many servants does he have? How big is his house? And from those things, you can understand something about his wealth that he has. So similarly, we, the disciple, his function is to be anubhava the guru and always watching the guru. Bhaktisiddhanta says in one, he wrote two articles. One was called Braj Mandal Parikrama, and the other was Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. And both articles practically spoke nothing about the holy dham. Rather, it spoke about sadhu sangha. And he criticizes the attitude of people going to the dham and trying to enjoy the dham and trying to see something. He says we're not the seer. Rather, we should go with sadhu guru and we should associate with them and try to see through their eyes. What are they experiencing? What kind of happiness do they have? Shiradika Madhava Yodapara Madhura Jalila Guna Rupa Nana Patik Shanashva Dana Lolupasya. They're always relishing the Rup Gun Lila of Radhika and Madhav. And the disciple, he wants to try to pick up on that thing. So that requires thinking. But it requires an attitude adjustment in the beginning. That we should understand that this thinking is not for my sense gratification. It's not for me to be in the center of things. It's a guru and Krishna should be in the center of things. And then I should try to think according to Shastra. It requires some maturity. And in the beginning days in our society, there was very little maturity. But if after 20, 30 years, if your father tells you, hey, you're a four-year-old, but don't go outside the fence. And the little boy says, why? Because everybody's bad. The father tells you that. Because you can't tell a four-year-old boy, there'll be a child molester, there'll be a car that's going to run you over. It's too complicated. You just say, everyone is bad. Okay. So then that four-year-old boy grows up, and he's a 35-year-old man, and he's never left the yard. And he's still standing there, like this. And the four-year-old boy, when people are coming by, he shakes his finger and says, you're bad, you're bad. And the people laugh. It's a cute thing, and the four-year-old boy does that. But the 35-year-old man, when he's standing by, you're bad, you're bad. It's sick. It's a bizarre kind of thing. So we have to grow up after some time. And Prabhupada wanted that thing. We have to, as we were speaking yesterday, something, love, trust, responsibility, empowerment. These four principles should be there in our relationships. And the symptom of love is that we trust someone. The symptom of trust is we give them responsibility. If you really trust your son, you give him the keys to the car. If you don't trust him, you won't give him the keys to the car. Prabhupada trusted devotees and told them, go open a temple, go preach, go represent this movement. That was trust, and through the form of responsibility. And then through responsibility comes empowerment. The devotee gets some shakti. So we have to encourage people like this in our society. It's important. These four principles should be. This is the basis of our society. But if we don't have this love and trust, if we don't encourage, we don't trust someone to think, hey, don't think, don't, you know, that's speculation, Prabhu, then what we're doing effectively is we're crippling people. And they never grow up, and they're just like little babies. And this happens in the West. We were discussing this on the internet recently, some article there about children, and how children in America, they never grow up because their parents never give them responsibility. They never really trust them. And they just pamper them and baby them, and they worry about them always. And then when they finally go to the university, they're a 21-year-old person, they don't know how to wash their clothes. They don't know how to cook for themselves, and they can't deal with things. But an 8-year-old kid in India, an 8-year-old girl can cook a feast for the family. And you see an 8-year-old boy taking care of 5 or 6 cows or water buffalo with a stick. They've given some responsibility. They've been given some trust. And with that comes some empowerment and some maturity. So we also need that in our society. It's a very important point. Is that okay, Sonia? Okay. Puji?
Just, I think this point is very important because early days, many devotees left after when Hari Krishna left. I think the manana was most focused on Shastra-chakshu. And what I feel today, someday state, fortunately, I'm still here by the mercy of my Gurudev. But there are many new devotees coming in the temple. And what I understand after speaking with them, they are looking, most of them, they are looking for Krishna Katha. But some of them, they are not enough, how do you say? They have, like you said, there is a fear of of going deeper in this Krishna Katha among devotees. And then this fear creates such sometimes artificial relationship between devotees. Mm-hmm. And then some, they go away because of this fear.
Yeah, and devotees don't grow up. The intrinsic, and it's an intrinsic, the intrinsic desire to go deeper, to love Krishna in a deeper way, is a very natural propensity in any relationship. Mm-hmm. We always want to go deeper in our relationships with friends or husband and wife and whatever. That intrinsic desire is not satisfied in our movement then. And then after some time, they may repress it and repress it and repress it. But then after some time, they'll just leave. And they'll go to some other Vaishnava society or some other persons. And maybe they stop being devotees or they stop having faith in it. We have to do this thing. And even if they're not qualified, who's qualified for the Tulsi song that we sing every day? Sri Radha Govinda Premi Sarajina Basi, praying, you know, for Prem, for Radha and Krishna, praying for Vrindavan Bas and to become a Manjari. Very, very high things. But Prabhupada gave us this for every day. Prabhupada said Krishna book every day we should be reading. And we should be discussing with devotees. There's a true story I heard once, that there was one devotee in the Gaudiya Math some years ago who was very sick, and he was vomiting and passing diarrhea very badly. He couldn't keep anything in his body. And so, even water. Very, very serious thing. So they took him to a doctor, and the doctor says, very good you brought him here now, because within a day he would have died. So give him some ghee. And they said, what are you saying, give him ghee? He can't drink water, Baba. Are you going to tell him, give him ghee? He can't keep water down. Give him ghee. And so they gave him ghee, and what happened? It came out this end, and it came out the other end also. But because it's ghee, some of it stuck. And it coated his stomach. And then he was able to start taking some things, some water and other different things. So similarly, we're like that sick person. We can't digest Krishna Katha. And it goes out one end and out the other end in strange ways. But if we have nice Krishna Katha that keeps coming, then after some time it coats our stomach a little bit. And it helps us in that way. We can digest. Okay? So this is our society. We have to have Krishna Katha. It's not enough just to talk about, you know, why 10 reasons to be vegetarian based on the Bible, or you know, why reincarnation and the movie Audrey Rose or something like that. We should read Prabhupada's books. We should discuss them. We should think about it. And if we don't do that, if we don't have it in our society, people will go elsewhere. And we, for that reason, my grandma, she was very strong about that thing. He wanted to show that everything is in Prabhupada's books, everything is in Prabhupada's society. So, we had the thing. So, anything else is there? Krishna Kumar, do you want to say something? So, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki Vamsa Kalpada Vishcha Kripa Sundari Vishcha Kripa Nandi Vishcha.
So, talking about how Gurgavina Raj was very strong about this point, how everything is in Prabhupada's books and everything is in Prabhupada's society. Gopaji publication just came out with this new book, When Good Fortune Arises. This is about the life and teachings of Gaudiya Namraj, two parts.
First time.
And it's really nice. There are a few copies. You can have a look at it if you like, and you can purchase it if you like. It's really, really, I think it's really special. There are quotes from Radhanath Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, so many senior Vaishnavas from ISKCON about Gaudiya Namraj, about his exchanges with them. The purpose of this book was to introduce devotees to Gaudiya Namraj in such a way that we let you figure out for yourself where he's at, not to try to present him in a particular way. Just present some encounters of different senior Vaishnavas with him and present a little bit of his life in that way, and based on that present his teachings in the second part. So if you want, you can have a look.
Can someone take care of these song sheets so we have them tomorrow or something? Or I'll just take a look.